Blog Talk Radio.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! When I move, you move. When I move, you move. When I move, you move. Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
Just like that.
Just like that. Like that?
Hell yeah, DJ, bring that back.
How you ain't gon' cut? Girl, I'm me. I'm the guest. Freezing you in VIP. CEO, you don't have to CID. I'm young, wild, and like G.I. Lee. Blah! We ain't got nothing to worry about. Whoops. Let security carry him out. Watch out for the medallion. My diamonds are reckless. Feels like a midget is hanging from my necklace. I pulled up with a million trucks. Looking, smelling, feeling like a million bucks. Pass the bottles. The heat is on. We in the huddle all f***ing that Cheech and Chong. What's wrong? The club and the moon is full. And I'm looking for a thick young lady to pull. One sure shot way to get him out of them pants. Take note to the brand new dance like this. When I move, you move.
When I move, you move.
When I move, you move. When I move,
we move, y'all move. Hell yeah. Hey, T, bring that back.
Okay.
Yes, 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 yes. It is the Thursday, Friday edition of Kel's Corner with the co-host that got the most. And if y'all know like I know, y'all better post in TNT Fashion. Get that gear. Y'all talk about my buddy, my pal, my friend, to the end, Lady T, and your host, TMV Kel, bringing you Kel's Corner. Listen. See, I don't know where this energy came from, but I got it. You know what I'm talking about? I got it today, y'all. I got it. I'm ready for him. I'm ready for him. 57, you bring it. You bring it. And you better have both gloves on. You better have both girls on and ready to roll. You got that back?
Yeah.
No. How is everyone doing today? I hope you all are enjoying this beautiful, beautiful weather. I mean, it is, as my co-host would say, amazing out there today. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, man, I love it. I love it, you know. It's something about this time of year. You know, we got the Masters golf tournament on TV. Mm-hmm. And I ain't going to lie, y'all. I almost missed the start because I'm watching this golf tournament. And, you know, it's funny how, Treece, the older I get,
mm-hmm.
like baseball, I enjoy it now, you know. When I was younger, I had an eye on baseball, but I really wasn't into it like I am now. And this golf, this Masters tournament, you know, it's the strategy that goes into the game that's just so amazing to me. You know, I just love it, y'all. I just completely love it. Love it. What's up, T? How's your day going, sis?
You already know what I'm going to say. If I'm alive, it is amazing. Even if it ain't, it's going to still be amazing because I'm going to find something positive to talk about. I'm going to turn a negative into a positive immediately. Mm. So I'm doing great.
She used two words, y'all, that I want y'all to hold on to. That's amazing. And immediately, you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
You have to immediately turn that nonsense around in your life and make it amazing. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, because you know what? Okay. I've learned to see here doing Kel's Corner, the good, the bad, the impossible all comes to go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It all comes to go, y'all. It's a start and, oh, man, listen, let me, it's a start and a finish to everything. You know?
Yeah.
You and your spouse not getting along, y'all not seeing eye to eye, guess what? is starting to finish to that. You and your kid not saying eye to eye, not getting along. Guess what? It's a starting to finish to that. You go to work.
Yeah.
You go to work. We all got that bam on our job that we just want to. It's bad enough or she has that punch me face. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
yes.
when they do certain things and you want to punch them, know this. This is a start and a finish to that day at work. It comes to go. It comes and goes. So, yeah, I'm like my co-host, y'all. I'm like my co-host. I'm hanging on to what is amazing. Before we get started today, I want to send a awesome happy birthday to my uncle. All I'm going to say is Double J. That's what we call him all our life, Double J. I'm going to send a happy birthday to Double J and let you know, Dub, I love you, man. I love you. My uncle is crazy, girl. I'm trying to tell you. Funniest dude. One of the funniest dudes you ever sit down and talk to. So happy birthday, Dub. We love you, man.
We need funny. Okay? We need it in our life. Yeah.
Have to have it. Real quick, y'all, on the technical end, I'm going to fix that when we go on the commercial break. Okay? I'm going to take care of that when we go on the commercial break. All right, y'all. On today's Thursday, Friday, episode of Kale's Corner, we will discuss this Saturday's up-and-coming championship fights, y'all. It's two of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's two of them. You guys may not know the fighters, but I'm pretty sure once Lady T and I start to spew off this information, y'all going to be real hip and ready for these fights this weekend. MLB. We're going to talk to MLB. And there's some milestones that can be reached, should be reached, this MLB 2003 season. So we're going to name the players and the milestones that they have a chance to reach. As the aforementioned, Masters Golf Tournament, y'all, and the five players to watch or keep an eye on because, you know, and I'm going to tell y'all, none of the five that they're telling us to watch are on the leaderboard right now, but it's only Thursday. It's only Thursday. They have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to continue. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. We're going to talk to NFL mock draft, y'all. It's mock draft time. They putting it out everywhere. They saying this team is this and that team is that. And y'all know Kale's Corner do everything different. So we're going to do the mock draft on a team that's represented here on Kale's Corner. I'm not going to tell y'all who it is, but you got to stick around and find out. You know what I'm talking about? And the Washington fans, T, we got some good news. We got some real good news. We finally have a date in which our team should be sold by. All right, so y'all stick around because we're going to get into that. We're going to get heavy into that. Y'all know me and then watching the football team. I just love my love. Anyway, all these topics and much, much, much more on this Thursday, Friday episode of Kale's Corner. Listen, if you don't want to call in, you don't particularly want your voice or your opinion heard, but through social media you want it, you can join Lady T and all our online corner crew on Facebook Live at Kale's Corner. Or If you're one of them people like me and Lady T and don't care and speak how you want to speak, and like I did just now, choking all that in the middle of your talking, then you join Lady T, DZ Kale, and all our live in-studio guests at 563-999-3782. And that's just not today, y'all. It's each and every Tuesday and Thursday / Friday at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time zone. And listen, y'all, I had to capitalize this one, y'all, because the more I say it, the more I feel it. Kale's Corner, where keeping it real is our only real. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. Girl, I'm in the mood today. I'm in a mood today. Do you hear me? Let's get it. Let's get it. We're going to take a quick break, y'all. 563-999-3782 is the number. 563-999-3782 is the number. And listen, I see all y'all. I see y'all. We're going to get to y'all when we come red light. All right? Let's enjoy a little more Luda.
We're on the way to the music. While they're still here, as the sweatshirt is coming, but right now I need you guys to get your sweat, your t-shirt, okay? They come in all different colors. If you guys go on the website,
now where'd
you
get
can
that
see
platinum chain with them diamonds,
the different colors and styles that we
that
have, okay? These are just two of the colors that we have right now that I'm showing. I'll show the other colors throughout the show.
Hey, don't be teasing us. Don't be teasing us live studio, folks. We can't see the dead damn church, as my father would say. We can't see the dead damn church. We want
to
see the dead. Now you owe us. We want to see all the church. We want all the church. We want to see them all. Yeah, that bad. All right, y'all. We want to just...
Oh, my goodness.
You good. Hey, listen, I was over here dying laughing because I said, Preach don't know she ain't here. Why people mess with me? It just goes with my mood so good. It goes with my mood so good. I just had to prank you on. Look at me, choking again, y'all. I just had to prank you on that one. You know what I'm talking about? All
right,
y'all. This weekend, we have the lightweight championship between Stevenson 19-0-0 versus Yoshino, who is 16-0-0. We also had Rodriguez at 17-0-0 versus Gonzalez at 15-1-0 for the flyweight championship. I cannot wait. Listen, it's been so long, y'all, since, and when I say so long, I'm talking about Sugar Ray Hagler times, you know, that somebody other than a heavyweight got me excited for a fight up and coming, you know, but these guys, the fact that these guys are all basically undefeated. Now, Gonzalez has one loss. He does have one loss. But other than that, everyone is undefeated. And, you know, I was talking to Marcus, my boxing extraordinaire, and Marcus was telling me that Stevenson going to punish Yoshi and Rodriguez is going to beat, now I'm quoting Marcus here, y'all. He said,
right,
Rodriguez is going to beat the color out of Gonzalez. Now, it's been a long time since I've seen somebody color beat out of him. So I'm going to tune in. I want to see what that look like. Yeah, that about. I want to see what that would do.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What's up with TT? What's up with you and these fights? Hold on. First of all, are you having a fight party? Okay.
I don't know yet.
Okay. I'm going to take that and let me talk to Shane.
Exactly.
Is it safe to say that?
Boom.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Okay.
I got to check with
Tank
the man in the house first.
When Tank come on here, I'm going to throw all type of hits. Hey, man, you know what, Joe? It's a tight fight. You can't. Y'all
right.
Damn
that's
right,
you
said.
Yes.
I got you. And y'all keep y'all mouth quiet. Do not tell Tank that we in cahoots. They got the best place for a fight. I'm talking about two screens, nice, comfortable, leather, infection. Can't stop that. All I got to do is bring my Heineken Zero and my cigar, and I'm good to go. So, yeah.
And you're good to go, bro.
But go ahead, though. I'm sorry. That just ran across my mind. I had to run across yours.
But bro, I don't know too much about these boxers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a boxing fan. I am, but I haven't really been looking at boxing like I should. I've been more focused
mm-hmm.
on baseball and, you know, what's going on with the NBA and how everything is, you know, going to play out with Lamar and what's going on with number 12. So I've been really focused on that. So you have to forgive me. Charge it to my brain and not my heart because I don't really know too much about these fighters.
Okay. It's cool. And again, we're talking about the lightweight and the flyweight. So we're talking about little
right.
and littler. Little and littler.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. But I like the little fighters, y'all, because I like the energy that they come with. I love
mm-hmm.
the energy that they come with. I mean, it's like with the heavyweights, picture this if you can. With the heavyweights, it goes boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
With the lightweights, it's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Them little babies be trying
exactly.
to kill each other. So, yeah.
Exactly.
They throw about
1,000 punches. They throw like 1,000 punches. And, you know, the heavyweights, they probably throw probably 200-300 punches.
Mm-hmm. And they throw the punches you want to see. I don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all call me weird, but I love to see a person get stoned. In layman's terms, I love to see somebody get punched in the face. I don't know why. I'm a weirdo like that. As long as it ain't me, then, you know, yeah, we good. Let that thing get down.
I love to see people that got some faces. I love to see them people who got some faces that need to be punched. So I'm with you.
Okay, big boy. Come on in here, big boy. Come on in.
Okay.
Big boy, growling. Come on, man.
What's up, man?
Hey,
look, I don't see in a phase or two that I feel like need to be punched, you know. I don't see one or two. it is what it is.
You're
going to punch him or not.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but
like real quick, for example, every time I see a man walking around with no mustache and no beard, I'm like, Slim, where your stash at? You need to be punched in the face for real. That's just
yeah. Okay, so we giving out examples. I got one. Every time I see a man with a purse, okay?
Mm.
There you go.
Oh boy.
Punched in the face.
Oh boy.
Punched in the face. Wow. Right
boom,
in the kitchen.
Yeah. What about a man with his nails polished?
Punch in the face. And I got another one. A man with thongs on his feet. Like, you know the shoes that go through your toes?
Girl,
punch in the face.
I thought you were talking about Cisco. Okay.
No. The ones on your feet. Punch in the face.
Mm-hmm. That's Crease, y'all. That's Crease. I'm just following through, y'all. That is all on Crease. She said, she see a man with a thong on. She ready to punch him in the face. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Hey. Well,
I can't take it.
You know what? I'm going to leave that subject alone. I'm going to just back away from that. Go ahead, big boy. Come on, big boy.
Hey. That's all I'm saying. You know, it is what it is. You know, you see them ones that want that look like they need to get parts. You know, so punch them or not. Punch them or not.
Yeah.
I'm at the age, man, where I choose not to punch them. Can't get serious now.
Right. There you go. Well, see, we know that there's repercussions. And punishments right now, you know what I mean?
I seen a picture of you and your family. Beautiful picture. I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all, big boy was up in New York,
okay.
Big city of dreams. That's what's up.
Yeah,
that's what's up. All right, let's move on because I don't want nobody talking about, I took forever talking and I ain't get to say nothing. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring the person that would normally say that in right at this moment.
Come on, Huckleberg.
It's all yours.
You know what, man? What's up, PL Corner Nation? How can you do me like that?
Because you do us like that. Because you do us.
Let me tell you something.
Hold on this time. Talk about you running for rent.
Hey, man.
Go ahead.
Did I miss the story today? Did I miss the story? What you do today?
No, you did not, bro.
No, you missed
the story.
I thank my co-host. I thank my co-host for her diligence. Her due diligence and everything she do to make Corner Kills Corner do what it do. But go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't even know who y'all talking about when it comes to boxing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name ran through Tito and De La Hoya, I lost my interest in boxing. What's my man's name? Bernard. After B-Hop did that. That's the last time I really was really interested in boxing. I didn't really like Mayweather because I felt like he picked his way all the way through. He wasn't one of my, you know, people. But I would like to see a Spock come back to boxing. And I do believe what you just said, Kale, that it's not going to come back by the heavyweights. It's going to be a smaller class, you know, because when boxing was about to die, Sugar Ray brought it back. You know, boxing was almost dead when Sugar Ray came into the game.
Watch your mouth, boy. Watch your mouth. Palmer Park Jones.
Hey,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead, Kev.
I'm rude. Go. You go. It's your turn.
Yeah. So I would look forward to seeing some good fights. Sometimes I hear y'all. You and Sis talking about fights and stuff, and I'm like, I love boxing, but it just seems like once you stop watching it, you really got to sit down and watch a fight again, a good fight, to get back into it, because that's an investment of your time, you know, to sit down and, you know, invite people over to your house, have a party, and this dude knocks some damn body out while you're in the refrigerator getting a damn soda.
Hey, look, I ain't worried about the ring introduction and the walk-up. Honestly, the only person that it used to excite me with his approach was Mike Tyson. Because he always, even when he bit, Even when he bit Holyfield, he looked like he was coming out there to do some damage. Now, I didn't know it was going to be ear damage given by a blight, but he looked like he was coming out there to kill people. So yeah. I started making all my moves in between fights so I don't miss nada. And like you said, with Mayweather, you know, it's going to be, and no disrespect to Mayweather because the man was good at what he did, but you know it's going to be a run all night type of fight. He was going to throw a couple of jabs and back off. Throw a couple of jabs and move away. Body shot, then he's going to run around for like the next 5 seconds or so. So it's like, okay, I can go to the bathroom. After he throw this flurry, I'm going to the bathroom. By the time I come back, it'll be time for some more action. But with these lightweight and this flyweight championship this weekend, you want to get your popcorn, your soda, your beer, whatever, your drink before the round starts, the fight actually starts, and be planning on sitting there until the end. And look, real quickly, y'all, another reason why I asked Streets is are they having a fight party, because nothing irks me more than to go to somebody's house for a fight party, especially a fight that we've been waiting to see forever, like Javante Davis and the little boy he's going to beat up. But and somebody stands in front of the TV. Or somebody says, I'm a fighter dream, and start fighting and boxing in front of the TV. None of that happens over there. Everybody,
no, bro.
Like
Martin say, respect my house.
Yeah,
don't be getting in front of the TV.
You'll be out. But I came in.
I've been to fight parties like that where people having their little dreams of being great fighters, and they want to get up and box along with. It's only two people in the ring, bro. There's only two people. There's no fight with three people. This ain't WWE or nothing like that.
Thank you.
Let the people we came to see do what we came to see them do, please.
Yep.
Oh,
you don't sit your ass down. It's going to be a third, another fight.
Yes.
It's going to be another fight. Because, look, I'm
if y'all remember, before Mike Tyson, you watch the fights at night, they didn't have two or three fights on. You had maybe two. But Mike Tyson was knocking people out so fast, they were like, man, people paying all this money, and they ain't sitting in front of the screen for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he's knocking people out, walking down the aisle.
I was one of those people that swore I would never, ever buy another pay-per-view fight because Mike Tyson is knocking these bams. He walked in the ring, take his towel off, and this bam over there falling down.
I looked at Michael Spinks. He looked like he was looking for a door to get out of the rain as Tyson was coming down.
I cannot stand you. Let's go to Steve, man. Yeah. What's up, Steve?
What a bad show.
Hello?
Yeah, you in.
What's up, Steve?
You on. Welcome to the corner.
Okay. Like my man said, Michael Spinks looked like as soon as he touched his nose, he was like, I'm sorry. But remember, back in my old days, there was a Mark Tussaud Johnson versus this, I can't remember the guy, right? As soon as the first round started, it was like within 10 seconds, bam, people was getting popcorn, going to the bathroom, 10 seconds, it was out. Mark Tussaud won. It was at the DC Armory, right? You know, and everybody was.
I remember.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, He the only one that held five belts, right? You know, I used to, hold, you know, like, because, you know, his father was something, you know. His father made him get known, you know. But it's going to be a good fight this weekend. I mean, you know, Stevenson, which is my part, my name, you know, he's going to beat dude. And then Rodriguez, you know, don't get me wrong, that Spanish guy, I mean, he's a good fighter. So, you know, he's going to take that belt, and then he's going to hold that belt for a long time, not unless he want to move up, because he's a good fighter. But, you know, I had to talk to some Bammers, some Cowboy Bammers, you know, because, you know, I'm Redskin for life. I had to talk some Bammers off of Minnesota Avenue. So, you know, I'm in my, not in my lane, but, you know, I'm back in the day, and them young boys talking about Cowboys. Man, y'all got rid of Ziggler Elliott, right? So, you know, but, you know, that's some, them people, that's the ones you want to punch in the face, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But, hey, Steve, I'm going to have to pump the brakes. I'm going to have to pump the brakes on that car because you now you out your lane real quick. I need you to get back over in the box. I need you to get back in the box.
Get all body in at one time.
Good to hear from you, though, Steve. I'm glad you are
you
with
too,
us,
right,
brother.
Y'all. I'm still here,
now,
so I ain't going nowhere.
That's what's up. This man texted me, Treats. This man texted me and said, I'm off work today. So he ain't in the bathroom, y'all. What's up, 006?
Right. Not today. And no. Hey, bruh, I'm here crying laughing. Bruh, look, I just had to turn off the episodes of Sanford some. I'm trying to say, got me cracking up over here, John.
Coming to the stage is B&B.
Hey, that lightweight division going to be very interesting in the springtime. I was looking at the lineup. The first two that I saw, it looked like both bosses going to be knocked out in the first or second round.
Oh, my goodness.
Stevenson. And he got it like a Shinobi name or something like that. There's no swords in his fighting, so this dude gonna knock him out in the second round.
Yoshino.
You had Devontae Davis, the popcorns I was talking about. Don't go in the bathroom. Just stay in your seat. April 22nd, you got Devin Haney. Devin Haney and some, Lama Chanikino or something. Why they got these long names, John? Hebron versus Taylor.
Ronnie, when you jump to a long name like that, you say the first syllable, and then you say LMNOP. G-O-N-L-M-N-O-P.
Lemon chicken.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna start doing. I'm just gonna abbreviate the
You know what the amazing thing is? I haven't heard you in so long, man. I'm just sitting here with a smile on my face, going, "Go ahead,
007." What's
up,
y'all?
What's up,
Jay?
What's up?
What's up? What's up? Corner crew. What did Kirby say? I know he talked to Trey. What did he say, Trey?
Kirby did. He said Joe Lewis was the greatest fighter, and he had a 6-inch knockout punch with either hand, and he served his country in World War II.
Kirby, he done lost his mind.
Yeah. Because he whooped Joe Lewis's ass.
Yeah, he beat Joe Lewis. Come on, you never met Muhammad Ali.
Yes, I did.
Hey, what y'all think about Aaron Pryor?
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
He was a beast. The one guy Sugar Ray was afraid of. The one guy he was afraid of, Aaron Pryor.
You think he was
afraid of him, man?
Hey, sis. Hey, look, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say it wasn't going to be a good fight, but he dodged Aaron Pryor when Aaron Pryor was out there destroying people. Sugar would not fight him, you know, and Aaron Pryor was calling him out. But Sugar would not fight Aaron Pryor. And I don't blame him, man. Aaron Pryor was like, he fought Arguello, and Arguello hit him like 3 times in the face, and he didn't even move. This dude was bad.
Wow.
He ain't lying.
Yeah.
He ain't lying.
Yeah. Man. Hey, listen. I hope we get a fight like that this weekend.
Yeah.
I really hope we get a fight like that this weekend because boxing needs it, y'all. Boxing needs it, man. Come on, Lou. I ain't gonna overtalk you. What's up, bro? How are you today?
What's up, Lou?
All right. Well, boxing does need his next star. Now I don't know about you, but there has been a few. To try to become the next star, but it's not the same as it once did. Plus,
Lou, your phone's breaking up.
You breaking up, Lou?
I better get out of here.
Your phone? Okay, no, I hear you. Oh, okay.
He gone?
He's gone. 57, I'm going to blame you for that.
I didn't say a word.
I'm blaming you.
57 too.
Homeboy said, oh, well, I'm out of here then.
I'm close to my Easy Bay garment, I'm sorry.
Before let me go get ready for Saturday's show. I'm gone.
I'm not accepting.
Yeah. He might call back in and say, the number is 212. Don't forget, Saturday, 5 to 7. I got to go.
Then they're going to text me tonight. Steve, what's wrong with my phone?
No, it wasn't me. It was the way sis yelled at him. It ain't your phone.
What?
Did y'all hear it? Y'all didn't hear it? I'm just messing with you.
Steve is out with me.
No, I'm just messing with you.
I'm just saying.
Lou did the $6 million man. He's breaking up.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
We love you. Call back.
Yeah, Lou.
We just busted your chops, man. We need you, Lou. You are a resident white guy. We got to have you, bro.
But let me see a special shout-out to Mr. Kirby. I'm glad he's getting well, you know, my brother in Christ, for everybody, the one that taught us all our things, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad you're doing fine, Mr. Kirby.
Hey, I say it to Kirby all the time and not here on Kale's Corner enough, but Kirby was one of the influences to me starting Kale's Corner because Kirby and I was talking one night and I was like, I'm sick of this and I'm sick of that and this should be done this way and that should be done. And Kirby said, well, quit your you-know-what in. Enough said, Kurt. You are absolutely correct. I got you. So, Kirby's always a pleasure to have you here, brother. Talking trash and smack like you do. All right, y'all. We're going to take a quick one. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. And we're going to talk about these MLB milestones, man, that can be reached this season. We'll be right back.
Yeah, look that up.
Games, changes, and fears. When we
in that jungle, Money Casey.
I believe that faith has brought us here, and we should be together, babe. But we're not. I'll say it off, but I'm dreaming of you. And I'll keep my cool, but I'm feeling. I try to say goodbye and I choke. Try to walk away and I stumble.
And that's my dedication to all our corner crew online, in studio. I try to walk away and I tilt and stumble and everything. I just miss y'all so much when you guys, we aren't on this show acting a fool. That's how about, all right, y'all.
Yeah.
MLB milestones, okay? Justin Verlander has an opportunity to reach 250 wins, y'all. He's currently at 244. He has a chance to reach 250. Clayton Kershaw, he has a chance to reach 200 wins, currently at 197. Zach Greinke has an opportunity to reach 3,000 strikeouts, y'all. 3,000. He's currently at 2,882. John Carlos Stanton and Freddie Freeman both have an opportunity for 2,000 hits. John Carlos Stanton has an opportunity for 400 home runs, currently at 378. Now, Jose Altuve and Freddie Freeman both have an opportunity for 2,000 hits. Jose is currently at 1,935. Freeman is currently at 1,905. 400 saves. We have Craig Kimbrell with 394. And Kenley Jansen at 391. Craig Kimbrell is playing with the Red Sox. Jansen is playing with the Phillies. Y'all, I'm telling you, I don't know about anybody else, but when I was doing this write-up for the show and those numbers came at me, it was like, wow, we're actually having an opportunity to see changing of the guard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're talking about Greinke with 3,000 strikeouts. He's already at 2,882, y'all. He's already there. You know, Stanton, 400 home runs. You know, can we honestly say that we'll see another player reach these milestones in our lifetime, you know? So
yep.
This, to me, is a – you think so, 57?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who?
Those numbers
tell
are not that outrageous. You got guys in the Hall of Fame now that got 3,000 hits. And, you know, that's not an outrageous thing, you know, for him to have 250 home – what was that you were saying? Home – not home runs, but – you say 250 for somebody. Yeah, strikeout.
No,
this is what I was saying, Kale, while you was giving your announcement. I'm telling you, that's what you gave us. That was some good information right there. What I was saying while you was giving it to us is, if these guys don't reach those milestones in the early part of the season, and when I say the early part of the season, I'm talking about before September. If they don't reach those milestones, they either got hurt. I was getting ready to say before the All-Star game, they either got hurt or something catastrophic had to happen, because they right at the edge of getting all of that stuff. But, yeah,
right.
You got guys from Baltimore that's gotten it, done it before. Go ahead.
Hey, what stands out to me is the strikeouts. You know, Nolan Ryan back in the days, you know what I'm saying, he threw 3,000 strikeouts. That was a bad dude back then. And if Grinsky had that, you know what I'm saying, that's an honor, right? That stands out to me than anything. Like back in the days, like you was mentioning, like in the 80s, Ricky Henderson breaking on strikeouts. I mean, no, not strikeouts, stolen bases and stuff like that. Getting doubles and doubles in the same season, you know, those are remarkable milestones.
Yeah.
Do y'all really think that Zach Greinke is going to reach it? Because he's like 40 years old.
Yeah. The reason why I think he's going to reach it, sis, is because he went to Mets this year. And they got an awesome team. You know, he in a great rotation. That's the reason why I think he might be able to make it.
Well, you know, he only gets to win if he starts out.
Yeah, I hear nothing anybody say.
57 just said the key words, y'all. He's in a great rotation. He has protection around him. Everywhere else Zach Greinke has been, he had to be the man. He had to be the dude. At any clutch opportunity, it was up to Zach Greinke to bring them through. With the Mets, that weight doesn't fall on his shoulders alone, you know, because he has that support team. So I think they can hide him, Treece, in the rotation, and every time you see him, every time we see him up the pitch, it's going to be a situation where that 2,882 standing point is where he's at right now, and he only needs such and such in order to reach that 3,000. So every time he comes up to pitch, it'll be excitement in the ballpark. You know what I'm saying? For the fans who know exactly what they're looking at. And
I hope it produces to W.
Tails Corner. And for us here on Tails Corner, you know? So,
okay,
so
But what I'm saying is he need at least 718 at-bat. Because he has to be at-bat. He has to be the starter to get the win. Like, even though he's in a good rotation, he has to be the starter to get the win. So that's what I'm saying. Every five games or every three games, he's going to start. It all depends on how their pitching is, because it's going to be every three games or every five games, he's going to be the starter. And it's only 178 games. So
and
I'm,
you say
I'm,
he needs
I'm,
how many strikeouts? I'm sorry, sis.
720. He needs 718 more to get to 3,000, and he's 39 years old. That's what
I'm just saying, can he do it? I mean, listen, I'm cheering for him.
I'm cheering for him. I want him to make it. But the reality is he's going to be 40 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can at least throw to at least, 45? He got five more years,
somewhere
I guess.
There.
Somewhere, yeah, you know, yeah, around there until your arm really gives all the way out. And then you up at bat every five games. And it's 172 games. So listen, I want him to make it. I just don't think it's possible for him to make it.
And sis, I'm not doubting what you're saying, sis, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. I also heard what 007 said earlier. I remember, and not everybody's a Nolan Ryan now, but Nolan Ryan seemed like his fastball got harder and faster the older he got. But he was, you know, he was just a phenomenal pitcher. But what you're saying, sis, makes a lot of sense. Makes a whole lot of sense, you know, his age, and can you, you know, How long can you last? You're right.
Exactly.
Right. That's it. All right.
That's the key thing.
All
right there. You just said the key thing. How long you can last. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kale.
How long can he last? It's time to see what Red P bringing to us, y'all. Let's bring him on in.
Shut up,
what up, Red? What up,
hey, you know how it go, man. It's Nas, man. What's going on, y'all?
Oh, Nas.
Oh, hey,
Nas. This ain't Nas and Red with that Skype calling. I'm tired. Nas and Red with that Skype calling. I'm tired. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, what's up, man? I'm just coming in. I didn't even know what y'all was talking about. How y'all doing, though?
We're talking about the milestones that can be reached in the MLB. Justin Verlander with 244 wins going for 250. Clayton Kershaw with 200 wins. He's at 197. Zach Greinke going for 3,000 strikeouts. He's at 2,882. Giancarlo Stanton with 400. Trying to reach the 400 home run mark. He's at 378. Jose Altuve, you know, 1,935 hits. And Freddie Freeman at 1,905. Both of them trying to reach that 2,000 mark on hits. And you know what? Out of those two, I like the way both of them handled the bat. But Freddie Freeman is a monster, man. Freddie Freeman is a monster. That boy, it seemed like every time he wants a hit, he gets a hit. Seriously. Mm-hmm. And Craig Kimbrell at 394, Kenley Jansen 391, both reaching for 400 saves. That's Kimbrell for the Red Sox, Jansen for the Phillies. You are up to date, bro.
Yeah, that stuff is tough because with baseball, some of the milestones, like, people are kind of writing them off. Like, the 300 games, like, most people are saying, we just won't see it anymore just because of, you know, the way they load manage people now as far as pulling you early, taking away wins. Hell, they barely let you get a quality start. They mess around and pull you. For Greinke, the Greinke K thing, that's going to be tough. Greinke got three Ks yesterday. Man, that dude was struggling to get them three. Like, he's an older guy now. He's a soft touch, soft toss. You know what I mean? He's a technician
that's
now. He's blowing nothing by nobody. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's interesting, though, man.
That's point with Greinke.
Hey, Tree.
Uh-oh.
We just found him. We just found him. Nas watched that game yesterday. So that means he's sitting back watching baseball. My Nas a baseball man.
Nas a baseball
I got something on Kyle Freeland right now. He up there shutting down them boys in Coors Field, man. If that hit right, you know what I mean. It's a nice little tough change for your boy tonight. Let's see.
I remember. Yeah. Okay, I got you, Nas.
Let's go to Brother Ted joining us on the corner. What's up, Ted?
Hey, Ted.
Hey, what's going on, Kel's Corner family? How y'all doing?
What's up, Ted?
Hey, Lady T, we play y'all tonight. I think y'all going to kick our butt. It's the sock.
Hey, Ted, I hope we do.
I know. It's early. And y'all got a better team, so. You know.
It is. Which one of your teams is it?
Y'all play the Sox.
The Sox, okay.
That's the American League, yep.
Okay.
That's what's up. And it is early, y'all. That's why I'm bringing up milestones. And that was a great point that Nas just made, how Greinke struggled getting those three strikeouts last night, you know. But at the same time, those three strikeouts put him at 2,885. So he's, Hey, he isn't that's close. He isn't close, y'all. It's a marathon now. You know? Go ahead.
Come on now.
Well, as far as now with this new pitch count thing, do you think that would, you know, slow a person down from getting that record, or, you know, enhance him or hinder him, you know, or what do you think about that with that new, as I say, the pitch count stuff, with as far as these guys?
I think it would speed it up.
All I'm going to say is so far, I've seen that pitch count hurt more pitchers than hitters. I've seen that pitch count hurt more pitchers because guys are being awarded balls and the bases because the pitcher is taking too long to prepare himself and speeding up the pitcher's game. So I would say right now, it looked like those guys are having a hard time to get accustomed to that new rule. But who knows? Maybe like 57 said, maybe after the All-Star break, everyone will be acclimated and ready to roll. So we'll see what MLB was seeing when they instituted this rule, when they made it a part of the game.
Otani got called.
Right.
Well, he got called on the pitching end and on the batter's end. Because, you know, he pitches and bats. You know, man, this rule, they need to leave baseball alone, man. Let's us just enjoy the game. Who cares?
Hey, you know what? Go ahead, I'm sorry, sir.
No, go ahead, man. I'm done.
You're right. You're really a baseball guy. You know, as far as your tradition and all that. And I will ask you, as far as, you know, does that hurt the guy? I know it speeds the game up, but also that's what people, the real traditionalists of basketball, I mean baseball, that's what they like, because you got the little new nuances of it, where pitchers taking his time, rubbing away. You know, he get to play my games with the run on base, or even the batter, all that little stuff like that. You know, that's taking away that part of the game. You know, so how do you? I see how you say. You say let's go back to old baseball.
Well, Sid said it the other night, Ted. Just to answer your question, bro, and I'm you're right, Ted. But Sid said it the other night. It's a chess game. Everything the batter is doing, the pitcher's doing, it's all psychological. Sometimes the signals they're giving, they're not even signals. They're just stuff to make you think they're telling the guy to do something. You know, so now, because you want to have more advertisement, or the TV stations are saying, we're giving you all this money, but the game's going longer and longer, we can't bring in the other stuff. So now you're trying to change the game and speed it up. And you're robbing the pure fans who like seeing the game the way it is. You know, that's why they brought that no shift rule back.
But guys are gonna figure out ways to game it though. So they're gonna game it to their advantage, and sometimes it's gonna work, sometimes it's not. But just think about it.
Yeah.
If you get a guy like DeGrom and he rolling like he was yesterday, and you can't step out the box to break his rhythm, and he's just mowing y'all down, like, well, you're in trouble. If somebody gets
in trouble.
Rhythm. Now on the flip side, you get a pitcher in there who's prone to turn into a gas can. For those in D.C., please, don't take this personally. If Patrick Corbin has a bad day, y'all know what it looks like in them first two innings. Like, it can be real dicey. And
I'm taking that person. I'm taking that person.
Well, you look at Max Scherzer, since you bring that up. You got a guy like Max Scherzer. He loves it. He needs time on the mound. He wants time on the mound. You just made him rush his game.
Yeah, and he didn't look good the other day.
That makes him less effective. Yeah.
I mean,
because if Corbin get through them first two innings, he mess around, strike out five people, and give you, six quality innings. a good start. But if somebody gets on base early and he get off his rip, like you said, this puts extra pressure on him. So, you know, there's another factor to this.
You know, and see, they just thinking about the money end of it. You know, these guys know what they're doing out there. Just like football, you got the two-minute drill. And you think about it and you say, well, man, wait a minute. Why is it they can run the ball up and down the field like this in 2 minutes and they couldn't do it in 38 minutes?
Fact.
Because the
Come
way they
now.
Play the
Talk
game. It's a like psychological thing. And then you're going to step in here and tell them, now you got a bat within 18 seconds. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, hey, that's them Blake Bortles yards. Jacksonville will be down by 30 in the second half. Everybody dropping in deep zone coverage. All of a sudden, he throw for 300 yards in the second half. They still lose, but it looked like he did so.
Thank you.
That pack in the half.
That's true. That is so true.
Let's go to Brother Tang. What's up, bro?
What's up, Tang?
Family, much love, respect. How everybody doing tonight? What's up, big brother?
What's going on,
Tang?
Southeast Steve. What's up, Ted? What it do, brother?
Oh, you got it, brother. How you doing? Good to hear you, man.
Always, always a pleasure to be on the show with y'all. I hear y'all talking about that baseball, and I feel the same way on both sides. Like what Steve was just saying, you know, it's going to be a win for some people. Sometimes it's going to be a loss for some people. And we don't like change when it comes. And like 57, I think 57, somebody just said also that, you know, By the all-star break, half of the year, they'll get it together. It'll be good. It's just the beginning of it right now. So you know how that is when we all get changed, man. We ain't with it. But we don't have no choice because they the ones going to put the ball in place and where it's supposed to be.
But this change, I find myself questioning the necessity. What was the necessity of it? And I heard 57's point about advertising and all that and people not really being with it or whatever. But, I mean, the game, if you look at the game in previous years, it rolled by smooth. It wasn't like it was all that much of a hindrance, seriously. So I'm like, what are you guys doing? Why are y'all tampering with perfection? The game is good as it is.
I agree, because like we said last week, you know, and just like everybody was just saying, you know, it's a chess game. Like if the person step out of the batter box, he can, you know, slow the pitcher up, try to knock him off of being on, and vice versa. But I just heard, only thing I really got out of it, for real, to me, is they just wanted to speed the game up, and I think they're just trying to get more people to watch baseball because everybody says it's just too – some people, I love it like that. Once I learned the game and knew what was what and how the things went, I was cool with it. But that's – I just believe they're trying to get more fans. That's the only thing I can really get out of it, speed the game up.
Exactly.
That's all I can get out of it.
This for y'all nieces and nephews. This ain't for people our age. They having a huge problem getting young people into baseball, and they trying everything they can to try to change that. Like, you look up baseball fan demographics, it's pretty much 40 and up, man, 35, to, you know what I mean, and up.
Yeah.
And when it comes to young folks, they got a real small slice, and they just trying to figure out, okay, how do we get involved in this? Because basketball is thriving on TikTok and all that quick stuff because of highlights. So with baseball, how do you, you know, sell that same thing? So they're trying everything. They don't know what to do, man.
But also, can I add this? Also, in the urban neighborhoods, they just stop baseball. I'm gonna say, for example, as my community, now where I'm from, we had a thriving little league and pony league, a thriving of that. I mean, that's for all the kids. That's all they knew. Besides basketball, had that. But as y'all know, it's an expensive sport. You got your bats, you got your cleats, you got all that stuff. So that's why, they kind of unpopularize it in the urban neighborhood for the black kids. And they go over to Dominican Republic. You know, you got a whole bunch of them cats over there that they got the farm systems and everything, and they really promote that to them. Pretty much, I would say, the past decades or what have you. And that's just my opinion as far as what I see. You don't see many in
in the hood no more as baseball used to be.
You know what, Chance? You're 100% correct. Because if you got a Deion Sanders, if you got, because Deion can play, but if you got a Deion Sanders in America and a Deion Sanders in Puerto Rico, and this Deion Sanders in America, I'm going to have to pay him a whole lot of money. But this dude in Puerto Rico, he just want to get out of Puerto Rico and play baseball. So let me go see if I can get him for $250,000 instead of having to pay this Deion $200 million. You know, so it's not, it's a whole lot of what you're saying, because I'm down here where I'm at now. I see a lot of baseball being played and a lot of baseball on TV in the evening. It's being played, but in the inner cities, they're not doing it like that anymore. They're not spending their money on baseball. It's on soccer. It's on football. It's on basketball.
Yes.
You know?
And lacrosse.
And lacrosse, exactly.
Just like all of y'all are saying. And it's another thing with the money. Like, people want their kids to play baseball, you know, but it's so expensive for the kids to play baseball. But it's beneficial to play baseball, especially if you're good, because their money is so guaranteed. Like, you're going to get it. It's not. It ain't a whole lot of back and forth like it is in other sports. In baseball, it's what they say, and they ain't going back and forth with you. They even go, it is what it is. They might go one or two back and forth, but all that prolonging it 2-3 years out and all that, they're not doing that. They're not doing it at all. So they just going to move on from you. If you can't make your mind up whether you want your deal or not, they're just going to move on. Baseball is that's how it is. It's constructed that way.
Yep.
Let me say this. That overseas guy being a cheaper player, that's slowly but surely starting to reverse itself. Because you got guys like Juan Soto, okay? Juan Soto got paid, and didn't come to the United States until he was playing baseball. But he got paid on his first contract. He was on that, like you say, 57, that $250,000 contract. But now Juan Soto is a $400 million guy. So these guys may come in and accept those low bids off the break, but once they play and show their value, man, they asking for just as much as the American players.
There you go.
For sure. They got
American ass.
They got American ass.
At that point, they're worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you come in and do what you're supposed to do and show out, you know, when you're in the trial basis and you show all the way out, I'm talking about you just show out. Yes, give me my money, Steve. Thank you.
As opposed to coming in
asking for that same amount of money, not proving yourself. So that's just what it is.
Baseball been very good to me. Baseball been very, very good to me.
I just remember last year.
But just think about it. They go down to set up these academies in the places y'all talking about, Puerto Rico, wherever, Venezuela, wherever you want to say. You get a guy who's a so-called runner. He knows all the local talent.
Right.
He gets them in one place. You send a scout down. You sign 12 of them to long-term deals, and you get them over here. You figure out who's good and who's not. And at that point, they operating on a discount at the beginning. And, yeah, like you said, eventually you do got to pay them. But by then, you ate off that discount so much that they can never get their full value. So think about Ronald Acuna in Atlanta. Atlanta, dude, Ronald Acuna walking around with an almost NFL or NBA deal when he should have Soto money. But the Braves gave him the long-term deal early on to lock him in so he couldn't get the crazy number he's supposed to get. So he's underpaid right now, him and Albies.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's how the game go, man.
The pitcher with Houston last year, they helped him win the World Series. He wasn't making anything because they signed him over there before they knew what he was worth. but he got another year on that contract before he can negotiate.
Yeah.
Hey, so
Ohtani might get $600 million next time he signs.
I don't know if he's gonna get that much.
Yeah,
over the years, the way they were speculating, they're saying for sure by $500 million. But if they round that out, maybe over 13 years, he might get to $600 million. You never know, though. But he's gonna get paid. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
he's gonna get paid because
he
does both. He hits and pitch. Where you got that from? Who does that?
You know what? You know what? See, that's a misconception right there. And I'm gonna shut up after I say this. The reason why he can pitch and hit, because in his country, they don't play that same game that they play here. If you pitch, you can't hit. All you can
that's
do is pitch.
Hit.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
We don't want you doing nothing else but pitching. You know?
Well,
over there where he's from, the dude, you know, the majors used to be like that, too. If a pitcher came up and it was his time to bat, if it was his time to bat, he batted. Huh?
The league, American or the National does that. They still do that, right?
Most of the time they got pitch hitters now. But you're right. You're right. National League still does.
True that.
I have a question. Universal DH now. So,
That's what I thought. I thought it was a universal DH, but I could be wrong.
I have a question. With the new rule, right? With the new rule, do you think that it'll go like 16 innings? If any game could go, it's a possibility any game could go 16 innings beyond 9 innings.
I don't know.
I mean, the game stays tied up. That's what the rule they need to look at. If the game stays tied up, the Yankees and Boston went 19 innings one time. And that's not 40 years ago. This was like in 2001 or something like that. They went 19 innings.
Right. Yeah,
so
I remember that.
But at the same time, them putting that base runner on second changes it, man, to where most of the time it's going to be over quick. Like, we don't see them extended OTs like we see back in the day because – I mean, hell, they making it easy for you. Putting a guy on second base, all you got to do is drive him in. Like,
can I ask this question about who know about baseball, about the shift? What's the significance of the shift and them changing it also? What's the significance?
Well,
because you overload the field. All about you got to kill. Go ahead, Kale.
You
overload the field to one side or the other, and it shouldn't be like that. You're supposed to have nine guys out on the field, you know, and they're supposed to all be in position. And you overload because the right-hand batter come up, you switch everybody over to the right-hand side, you know. That means if that guy has no chance of getting anything through the infield on that side because you've overloaded that side.
Right.
But just think of it like the Joey Gallo rule. You know Joey Gallo go hit a home run and pull it to the right. So the shift was you put everybody there because the data said for his at-bat, he's always, if he gets it, a bat on it, it's going right here. And because of that, man, there's a lot of guys who back in the day, you know, they were low average hitters, but they had power. They were sluggers. And the shift, you know, it kind of took away from some of those guys because, you know.
That's right.
But most of the time, you ain't hit no home run.
also where hitters should be creative, be able to hit, you know, be able to face his ball, too, if you want to go to either right and left. But that, like you say, that's the nuances of the game. That's why, you know, the purists love baseball like they do, you know.
Let me say this. You said a key word, now, most of the time. There were hitters that were still successful with that shift in play. There were errors made by the outfield. So I'm with 57. What in the heck are y'all changing it for? Because for me, when a Freddie Freeman came up to bat, I knew Freddie Freeman couldn't hit a ground ball to right. So what would Freddie Freeman do? He'll triple on you. He'll double on you, beating that chip. And not just Freddie Freeman, but plenty of hitters. So come on, baseball. Really? Really? Y'all had no need to change this rule. No need whatsoever. You know? Let the game go on as it has gone on for years now. You know, and to speak on that pitcher's rule, now we've all seen it. Hurt the pitcher and help the pitcher. The pitcher needed no help at all. It was the
hitter.
Who couldn't keep up with the pitcher. It was the hitters who found themselves, as you said, Nas, mowed down. So what exactly, and I know offense sales. Offense is exciting. You got bases loaded, and nothing is more frustrating than to see a hitter come up and all of a sudden this pitcher has his moxie back and is getting the best of this hitter to where the dude hits into a double play with the third baseman staying where he was because he felt he'd get caught. And I understand where that can be frustrating. But at the same time, that's the game we love. That was the game we love. It was nothing better than seeing this pitcher in a jam and no longer in that jam.
Yeah.
And he has outs now on his side, and his team has confidence in him. Now, the batters may not have confidence anymore. The batters might feel like, oh, man, he's back. He's ready to do his thing now. But so what? You're a professional batter in the MLB. You got to step up and do your thing. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it, man. That's just the way I feel
this
about
generation.
It.
You got mad, bro.
Yeah. This generation
doesn't appreciate,
like Sis was saying, they don't appreciate the nuances of a 1-2 game or a 16-7 football game, you know, or a basketball game that was 67 or 75. They don't appreciate the fact that they played defense that day. You know,
No,
they want to see scoring. That's why you can't hand check no more. That's why you can't touch a wide receiver after 5 yards. You know, because they want you to get burnt. The wide receiver, they want to see you getting burnt.
Yeah. I like old school everything. I'm old school everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Reminded me of something saying that. Oh, I'm back.
Go ahead now. You good?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, 57 reminded me of something with that, talking about the no-hand checking in the NBA. Now, we watch what Steph Curry is, you know, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Dude, you think about somebody, I ain't even talking about way back in the day. Think about somebody like Mike Bibby, and you put prime Mike Bibby in this NBA, and he's shooting 12 three-pointers a game. Well, is Mike Bibby a Hall of Famer at that point? Like, that changes that dude's whole life, just playing with different rules.
Yeah.
Yes,
sure.
And that's
hey,
why.
Man.
That's why.
On my move, Chris Jackson.
That's why.
From
that's
LSU.
Why. That's why the LeBron Michael Jordan argument is futile to me. It was a different time, man. It was a different
ludicrous
time. You know, we saw Mike step off that court bleeding. And LeBron just come off with a little bit of sweat because people literally, and LeBron is way bigger than Mike. Let's keep that in thought. But people were literally moving out of LeBron's way. Go ahead and let him take it to the hole. Them bad boys, Detroit Pistons, they had opposite rules. The Jordan rules. Every time that Bama get that ball, we taking a pound of flesh. We take a pound of flesh. And you don't see that anymore in today's game. And I can understand it. And part of me, I'm kind of torn with it, because part of me is like, dang, I miss those old days of basketball. But at the same time, you know, it's exciting to me to see Obama go up 360 dunk during a game. You know, have a highlight play during the game. It's exciting. It's exciting. But, you know, for what you give, you got to get a little, you know. And that's just all it is to it. That's just
Can
all
I say
it
this?
Is to it. All right. Go ahead.
I admire LeBron and all the new school players and everything. And like Sis was saying, I love old school basketball and all the sports. But these guys that came up, Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, they not only had to perform on the football or the field and be great, they had to deal with all types of racism, not being able to eat at restaurants, having to sit on the back. And these guys still were great, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything from LeBron, but LeBron, how many times anybody told you couldn't come into this restaurant? Or you couldn't eat there, you know. That's all I'm saying. You know, let's give these.
What kind of controversy have you ever been to, Seth? Picking out the shoes
you
want.
Well,
thank you,
Seth. Those old school athletes, 57. What they did, they put it on the floor. They put it on the field. And Jim Brown has said himself, every white player that he took advantage of, it was for every comment he had heard during the week leading up to the game. Those guys found a way to absorb their aggression and let it all out when they're playing. Now, at the same time, they were entertaining us, you know, those people that called them those names, but they didn't care about that point. They wanted to make a statement that I'm here, and you're going to have to accept me and the many that will follow like me. So my hat's off to those guys. My hat is off to those guys. And that was a good point, 57. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick 563-999-3782. Hey, y'all, real quick, rarely do we have a conversation where I forget that I'm the host. But y'all Bama's made me forget I was the host this year. Because that was a good conversation. We'll be right back, y'all. Thursday morning cleanup music right there. The message dog
live your life.
Yes, sir, live your life. Five players that golf said we should watch or keep an eye on this weekend. Scottie Scheffler, Tiger Woods, Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Jason Day. Now I'm gonna tell y'all, the top golfers right now are John Rahm, Victor Hovland, Brooks Koepka, Jason Day, Koepka, and Cameron Young. I'm telling y'all, I wrote this top five down before the show, y'all. And this thing, the only thing that has remained, only players that have remained in their place is John Rahm and Victor Hovland. Everybody, man, that leaderboard has been on fire. You know what I mean? People moving up and down all over this board. Listen, And let me say this to y'all. When I came home, I turned the Masters on. And golf is a beautiful, beautiful sport. You know, be out there in the sun, the green grass, the perfectly manicured lawns and green, and these guys out here battling. You know, it's not a lot of wind, and it was only a drizzle as far as rain goes. But these guys were just like giving it everything they had, and it just it took me back because they showed the image of Tiger hugging his father after he won the Masters, and Phil Mickelson and his celebration, you know, and I just can't wait seriously for Sunday to see which one of these guys will prevail. Now, John Rahm is at a -7. Victor Hovland is -7. Brooks Koepka is at a -7. And Young is at a -5. And Jason Day has moved up to -4 with a -5. So out of all the names that golf told us to watch, Jason Day is the only one that's actually at -4 on the top 5 leaderboard. So, hey, man, listen. It's this time of year, man. Baseball, the Masters tournament, basketball going into the playoffs. This is a sports person's dream time of year.
Yeah.
Seriously. Outside of the Super Bowl, because we all love that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I picked John. I think I said it before when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. To me, John Rahm has been the hottest golfer out there. That's who I picked to win it all. And he scared me today because when he started off, he started off bad his first two holes.
Yeah.
But he
double
fought
bogey.
Back. Yeah, double bogeys on his first two holes. He fought back to tie it up with Hovland, who has been playing some of the best golf I've seen him play in about 3 years. So, I know it's just Monday. I mean, it's just Thursday. And tomorrow is moving day. But I look forward to seeing. I don't expect Tiger to win it. I'd like to see him make the cut to see if he's gotten any better. And this is a question I'm going to throw out for anybody. Is this okay? Do we think when Tiger leaves the game that we will lose a lot of spectators from the game, from the sport?
Yeah.
Yep. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't think so because Tiger's involvement sparked an interest. It sparked an interest. And at the beginning, it was an interest in Tiger. Now, interest in golf, period. So while some people, yes, will walk away with Tiger, I think a lot of people have grown accustomed to the game and love the game. Now, I'm not going to say just as much as they love Tiger, but they love the game all the more. So that's like a 50-50 proposition there, 57. Go ahead, Therese.
I think a lot of people are going to walk away. But I think a lot of people are going to come back because of his son. I think his son will bring a lot of people back, you know, because his Charlie is his father. Like he plays just like him, you know. He do a lot of things like him. They'll come back gradually when he gets a little older, because he's playing good golf now. He's not playing great golf, but he's playing good golf. And when he have his father, you know, whenever he have meets at, you know, competitions and stuff like that, Tiger will be there. So people are going to be wondering what he's thinking, what's going on, can I interview you, that kind of stuff. So they'll gradually come back because Charlie is Tiger, is a mini, mini him. So I think he'll come back because they're going to want to see what he does in
you
the
know,
long
run. I had forgotten all about his son, Therese. I had forgotten all about Charlie. and you are 100% correct. Charlie is tighter. If you watch him on his game, his approach, his chip, his putting, everything.
His walk.
I mean, yes. It looks like Tiger had that Bama instead of his wife.
I think he's going to grow to be bit better than Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think he's going to.
I don't know about all that.
Because Tiger didn't have the he had his father kind of, you know, teaching him along the way, and then too he got some other teachers. But what better teacher than Tiger Woods, the best in golf? At this time to pour everything into your son. You already say he's a mini Tiger, and it's like you got your father, the best in the world, coaching you and teaching you and telling you about everything that you put, that you will, you know, come to expect or whatever, or you know, how to deal with pressure, how to deal with all that. So my opinion, I think, and he got the best, and the trainers, then you got as far as him taking care of his body better than Tiger did. You know, I think Tiger steer him away from the things Tiger got trapped into. I think he will steer his son away and don't let him get caught up like he did. I think he had a longevity, to me, my opinion, if he doesn't get hurt and stay on that track as Tiger, I think, envisioned for him.
I think about most prodigies.
That being said, wait a minute, hold on 57. But I think you go up right after me. But I think as you get older, you know, listening to your dad, even with, like, Mayweather, he didn't want to listen to his dad. Like, people don't want to always listen to their father. They think sometimes I can do it better, or I don't need your help as much, because they don't want, you know, they don't really want to, like, follow in that footstep. They want to make their own path. So sometimes it can hurt the kid, like it can hurt them, because they don't want to listen to their father or mom, or you know, whoever the parent is. Sometimes it can hurt them more than help them. To me, go ahead, 57.
Well,
what I was gonna say is most prodigies, that the thing that they all have in common is the thing that they have that they're good in, their single-mindedness about that one thing, what they're doing.
Mm.
And the reason why I say I don't think he'll be as good or better than his father, because Tiger only had one thing on his mind. That was books and golf.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids growing up now, they got so many other things out there. And you got to remember that Tiger had the luxury of being with his father every day. This kid has split time between his father and his mother. I don't think he's going to have the drive that Tiger had to be the best in the world. That's all I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with anybody, but that's my take
either.
On it.
If anybody has a chance to be better than Tiger, it's his son. And that's only because, let's say, Tiger didn't start till he was, what, 4 or 5? Charlie started before then. Charlie was working on other aspects of the game while he was a young boy. So he's going to experience as the best teacher. I feel like
there's
the situation...
I don't mean to cut across you, Kale.
But you are.
I'm just going to say this real quick. There's a clip of Tiger Woods with his father on the Ed Sullivan Show when he was 3 years old hitting a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prodigy then. So that's all I'm saying. He started golf a lot earlier than his son started it, being in the same house with his father. That's all I'm saying. I apologize. Please forgive.
Well, all I'm saying is that because Tiger had those experiences, he was able to pass that. His father wasn't able to pass certain experiences and certain pressures onto Tiger because he hadn't experienced it. Tiger did.
That's what I was saying.
He experienced, He experienced all of this. So he knows how to prepare his son and get him ready both mentally and physically, what he's going to need to do. And
I don't understand what y'all saying.
Tiger knows.
I don't understand what y'all saying.
Well,
the Tiger father didn't have no. I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking. You saying he didn't have all of that stuff to pass on to Tiger? This man grew up when you couldn't even play golf, when you couldn't go out there and play golf on the courts with everybody else, and y'all saying he couldn't pass. He couldn't play.
Who's better, Earl or Tiger? That was the first statement. As far as the pass on, Earl can only pass on.
We don't know that. We don't know that, but hold on. Hold on. That's his father's son. His father taught him the game. His father taught him the game. We can't say if Tiger was better than his father because we never saw his father play. We don't know.
But I was going to say the same thing.
In a one-parent household, like he got to switch from his dad's house, and then he got to go to his mom's house. You know, he's back and forth, back and forth. So who's to say what he's doing when he's with his mom? Like when he's with his mom, he's probably not even playing, thinking about no golf when he's with his mom. That's just my thought.
I'm with you on that.
I was going to say the same thing. It's like Mayweather. He grew up with boxing gloves in his crib, same way this kid grew up with a club in his crib. He got access to stuff Tiger had to wait till he was 20-something to have access to, as far as just learning different things, the simulators they got, just all the stuff he has. And then to answer your original question, golf is the only sport where they like, look, if more people come to our sport, that's a beautiful thing, but if they don't, oh, well. Like, they not pressed on chasing fans. Y'all remember when the people tried to boycott the Masters and the Masters said, oh, you going to go after our sponsors? Cool, we'll run the Masters with no ads. What's up? Like,
that's
the only
right.
sport that you can't, you can't back them down.
Yeah,
but
hey,
look.
You're talking about the
all I'm saying is that the – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it was accident with Tiger and stuff and – yeah, the sponsors didn't like that, and I'm like, and 007 said that, right? And they said, well, we'll go without the sponsor without you, and they did well. But let's say on Tiger Jr., Tiger Jr. loves the sport like his father. And just like if you look at the Williams father, he played tennis. Nobody knew he played tennis. Until he said, he kept saying, just like Tiger saying to his son, you're going to be good. You're going to be good. And that's what's going to happen with Tiger Jr. He's going to be good. I think he's going to be better than his father because of all of the technology you have.
That's what I'm saying.
In 15 years.
Go ahead.
In 15 years. We gonna open up Kel's Corner. We might all not have our real teeth in our mouth no more, but we gonna open up Kel's Corner, and this is the subject we gonna bring up. And I'm gonna say, I told y'all that boy out there playing baseball now making all that money.
Mom Betty says children always have the opportunities to do better than their parents. We hope. Better equipment and tools to use as well.
I agree. Expose to more. Now, we brought up Tiger's father. You can never tell Tiger how to water in a white fountain taste. He can never do that. He can never describe that. But during Tiger's era or generation, they got to drink out of the white fountain. So the things that Tiger's father couldn't tell him or pass on to him, Tiger had to learn on his own. But he
did you say to tell him how to drink out of the white fountain?
No, I said
is that what
the taste of. No, I said the taste of the. Whose phone is that with that background? Please, kill that background, please. Whoever that is, I said Charlie could not tell Tiger about the taste the experience of drinking out of the white fountain. Because when he was coming up, they weren't allowed to. They couldn't. It wasn't until Tiger reached his maturity and was able to drink out of those fountains, he could tell his father, well, you know, Dad, it's water. It all tastes the same. You've made up in your mind this fantasy, this fixation over the white water fountain. It's the same water that comes out of our fountain. So get that stereotype out of your head. What I'm saying is a lot of the stereotypes and things that come along with being a prodigy, Tiger already knows. He's already had to live through it. So he may not play golf when he's with his mom. It may be a situation where golf is the last thing that they think about, talk about, or do. But what I'm saying is that'll help him because it'll give him that ability to have a downtime. It won't be golf, 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 golf. Go kart.
Had to balance it out.
Or whatever. Or whatever. It's going to balance it. And I feel with those key attributes, this young man has a chance. Now, I'm like you, Therese. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be better than his father and stamp it. But what I'm going to say, if anybody has a chance,
he got a better
and,
chance.
And if he continues, if he continues with golf, we'll see the first father and son ever to win a Masters tournament. We'll see a first father and son ever to win a U.S. Open. Those type of things is what I'm saying.
Right. I can dig it. I agree.
Well, all I can say is this. Charlie is good, but he's nowhere near his father. At this time, at Charlie's age, Tiger was winning junior championships and stuff like that because the only thing him and his father did was play golf. They didn't do anything else. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, Kale, or what anybody else is saying. I'm just trying to say that kids today, especially rich kids, are exposed to a lot more things and have a lot more options. And for me, to me, in order for him to want to be better than his father, then what he needs to do is have a single-mindedness about golf. If he wants to do a whole lot of other things, he's not going to be better than his father.
Well,
Let me say this.
Tiger was an excellent golfer. Horrible man. As far as some would think, well, what I'll say is horrible husband. As far as some would say, because he always only on golf. He never had a time to have fun. He never had a time to be a child.
He had too much fun.
Well, once he was
after he became great, sis, you're right.
Once he was old enough to make decisions for himself, he had too much damn fun. I agree 100% on that. But that was because as a child, he never got to do it. Case in point. Case in point, y'all. I'm going to let y'all in on something. When I was a young man, my mother would not allow me to go to the go-go for nothing. I used to have to sneak out and say I'm spending the night over Damon's house or over my buddy's house in order to go out. And I'm like, I don't see nothing wrong with the go-go. Everybody goes to the go-go. It's a party time for young people. Why can't I go? And then as I got older and I started going, I knew how to conduct myself in the go-go. I knew how to handle myself in the go-go. I knew the different type of things that approach you as a individual in that atmosphere. That's all I'm saying. Tiger's son is learning more. He's learning golf, yes, but he's learning life as well. He's learning how to handle himself in the go-go. You know what I mean? I don't think we'll see a report where he's OD'ing on painkillers and he's he's sleeping with promiscuous women. I don't think we're going to see that same thing. So,
don't fall too far from the tree.
Tiger
didn't have exit after his father passed. But remember, Tiger didn't have trouble until after his father passed. When his father came back, Tiger just went to a dark spot.
It wasn't
dark space.
Until his father died.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah,
it wasn't exposed. See, his father was shielding him from a whole lot. His father was keeping a whole lot in the dark. And once his father passed,
and like David Chappelle said, he liked them Ohio women. Dirty feet. Dirty feet and everything, you know. He liked them Wisconsin women.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah, exactly.
I still ain't saying that. 563-999-3782.
563-999-3782.
Them Ohio girls. We'll be right back, y'all.
Kelly,
this
lady, she tried to save the show.
MC Hammer. You can't touch this. From East Carolina. And I'm going to tell you,
Those two offensive players, Rashik Rice and Keaton Mitchell. 57, if everything goes like they're saying and y'all get these two guys, they're going to be stars for your offense. They're going to be stars for your offense. Keaton Mitchell he reminds me of a Jerome Bettis in stature, but he has a little more speed and shiftiness in the hole, if you know what I mean. Jerome Bettis was a power runner. He would run people over. He and Ray Lewis had some of the best battles in NFL watching Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But Rashik Rice, hey, I'm wondering if this dude is Jerry Rice reinvented, because he was giving a story in when they interviewed him, and he was talking, his life is so similar to the life of Jerry Rice. I mean, catching bricks and things of running the hills and things of this nature was all the things that he did naturally. Okay. So those two players, and not saying everyone else won't stand out, because Brian Branch, the defensive back from Alabama,
that's who we need the most.
And he would be a great pickup as well. He had length, he had speed, and he recovers like few defensive back we've seen. So with that all said, that is the Steelers mock draft for 2023. Any questions?
I have
the
one question.
We're concerned about the most is the two offensive linemen and the cornerback. Everybody else, mm-hmm. believe it or not, what you say about them is good. Everybody else is cannon fodder or trade bait that we can try to get something else for. We're not going to keep any of them.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Steve. Why don't
you get Joey Porter the second before he can match up with his father? You know, he would love to have him in Pittsburgh, you know, and the Commanders is right before Pittsburgh, so the Pittsburgh and the Commanders may make a trade that, you know, maybe they trade the second pick, they get Porter, and then they'll trade their second pick to Washington or go below. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
It might be, but we don't give up the house for nobody. We don't do that.
Good,
you know, so yeah. If Joey Porter don't want to come under the scale that we got, then we won't mess with him. We won't have no arguments or no fights. We just won't. We'll leave him alone. That's how we do it.
Father, that's no doubt, you know. So,
but I'm saying, he got to come within the range that we want to pay him. If he don't want to come within that range, we just going to say no. We're not going to argue with him. We're not going to do a Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers type deal. We don't do that.
No, he'll come under the next pick, you know.
Mm.
Well, we'll
fighting.
See.
And honestly, I don't have Joey Porter being there in that second round. I really don't.
I really don't see him being there in that second round, man.
He's slated at top three of defensive back in the draft. So I don't see Porter still being there, really. And Brian Branch. The only thing Porter has over Brian Branch is a football lineage. That's it.
His
father played in the game. Branch is a bad
man. Who came out of a great system.
Run stopper. Whatever you need from your defensive back, he has it in his toolbox. So I don't see Pittsburgh jumping out there and trading with anybody for any player when these players here that they have listed, like 57 said, they're going to utilize the ones they need on their team, and the rest of them, they're going to have them as trade bait.
swing tackle. Yeah, the Commanders took your swing tackle. I forgot that.
Kirby says, I am real old school, like helmet to helmet old school, because it's football and you need a helmet. You can hit the quarterback too.
Yeah.
That's an old school.
I think Kirby is smoking too much oxygen or something.
or he had too many helmet to helmet collisions himself. But Kirby, I got something that'll make you smile, bro. We have finally been given a date that this Washington football team should be sold. That is May 21st. May 21st, this team should be sold off. Dan Snyder, Tanya Snyder should no longer be at the helm of the Washington football team. Now, they haven't released which group, but I'm going to step out there and say Josh Harris along with Magic Johnson will probably be the group that they decide is best suited as owners. And guess what, y'all?
So Dan Snyder ain't going to jail.
Wait,
that
part's
still up in the air. Yeah. From this, the sexual assault and the cheerleaders and stuff. So he's still got 5 cases against him. So, you know, maybe they pay off all them fees and stuff and pay the cheerleaders off, and then it's still, you know.
Oh.
Hey, he just sold his team for $6.5 billion. I'm sure throwing a couple of hundred million away to these people with these allegations will not hurt him. I'm serious. And then we got to remember, y'all, Dan already had billions in his account from Snyder Broadcasting and IBM and all the other entities he put his hands into. So the money isn't the thing, for real. The other owners are saying they're ready for this to be done with. They're ready to move on. So May 21st, before the next owners meeting, Washington football team should be sold.
It's out.
Wait. No, is he still with us? No. Who is
Mario Bobby?
Who is that,
Steve?
Steve, give us your last word. We are at that time. We are up against it. Give us your last word.
Okay, great show, everybody. Love y'all all. Like I said, can't wait to be on the next Kale and Lady T show. You know, Kale's Corner, Lady T on the online show, you know. But can't wait to talk to y'all next week. God bless everything. All right, Kale, go with your music.
Come on, T.
Guys, listen, that was a good one. That was a great one. Listen, guys, our prayers are working. Listen to Steve. He's all in recovery. Kirby's in recovery. Uncle Shorty is in recovery. Listen, Kale's Corner Prayer Warriors are like that. We are like that. Believe it. DMV Kale and Lady T would like to thank everyone that supports us here on Kale's Corner. DMV Kale and Lady T would also like to say that we love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, you guys. DMV Kale and Lady T, we are here every Tuesday and Thursday between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The number here is 563-999-3782. And you guys can follow Kale's Corner on Instagram at Kale's Corner and on Facebook at Kale's Corner. You guys can also log into blogtalkradio.com/UKaleMcLean and listen to the broadcast there as well. Love on your loved ones, you guys. Enjoy all of the sports this weekend, and we'll see you guys, God willing, right back here Tuesday, 5 p.m. sharp. Kale, you have the very last word.
If you love them, they should already know. If you love them, they should already know. Like Lady T said, enjoy the boxing, the golf, the baseball, the NBA. Enjoy yourself this weekend. Stay safe, because we love talking to you, never about you. All right, let's go.
Didn't work, no. It wasn't possible.